Individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors
to gather and disseminate information on the causes of conflict between any and all of such groups.
To promote the study of political and economic problems and of the causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonisms.
To promote the full distribution of public information to obtain access to sources of news not commonly brought together.
And to employ such varied sources in the public presentation of accurate, objective, comprehensive news on all matters
vitally affecting the community.
The Pacifica Mission Statement.
This is Mumia Abu-Jamal from Imprisoned Nation. You're listening to listener-sponsored KPFK, 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. KPFK, powered by the people.
300 years ago, Sir Thomas More invented the word utopia, where everything was going to be hunky-dory. But now we know it's going to be a green-powered earth, and that'll be solartopia.
Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what was needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden. Don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia?
Lost, so we had to work to pay the cost. So we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But don't you know we're gonna have solartopia,
solartopia. Hey everybody, this is Harvey Sluggo Wasserman back with you after a long hiatus on the California Solartopia show. I got the great D'Angelo in the control room. We're waiting for Myra Reason to get through the traffic, and life is good here in the KPFK studio. We are proud to be back on KPFK, and we have our hands full getting to a Solartopia, but we are going to get there. I want to mention that tonight our governor, governor of the state of California, Gavin Newsom, will be debating the fascist governor of Florida, whose name I will, well, it's Voldemort, Governor Voldemort of Florida. Debating the governor of California, and I just sent in a letter to the New York Times pointing out that this wonderful liberal, Gavin Newsom, I haven't met, by the way, he's a really tall guy, has backstabbed us on the Diablo Canyon nuclear plant. And we want to talk about Diablo Canyon, which is the number one threat to all of us here in Los Angeles. I live in the Valley. I've got kids and grandkids here in Los Angeles. I've been here since 2017. We have been fighting to shut the Diablo Canyon nuclear reactors for a long, long time. In fact, I was arrested at Diablo Canyon in 1984 at Avila Beach there. I do want to say I highly recommend the San Luis Obispo County Jail. If you are driving from L.A. to San Francisco and you run out of gas or something like that, need a place to stay, go take a pop at the Diablo Canyon gates there. They'll put you up in the county jail. I was there three nights. It was a lot of fun, and I'm getting ready to go back. Because Diablo Canyon should have been shut down way a long time ago, and Los Angeles should have been totally solar energized a long time ago. We have the technology, we have the economic wherewithal, and we have the need to put solar panels on every rooftop in Los Angeles, and that will solve our energy problem. Believe me, whenever I fly into Burbank or LAX, you look down, you see many square miles of naked rooftops which need solar panels on them, and that's what California's Solartopia is about. I will tell you specifically that we get more energy in this state, more electricity by a very large factor, actually, from rooftop solar than we do from the Diablo Canyon nuclear plant. And we have the wherewithal technologically and economically to shut down all the oil, all the gas, all the coal, and all the nuclear in this state, make us totally solartopian within a matter of less than a decade, maybe even within a matter of 5 years. We just need the political will to do it. And that's what California Solartopia is about. The name comes from a book I wrote, Solartopia, Our Green-Powered Earth, to be solar, totally off fossil nuclear fuels by 2030. I will tell you that the introduction to my book was written by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. We could do a show about that. I haven't seen Bobby for quite a while, but I wish he'd be talking more about energy, about renewables, about his work as a river keeper. But the title of this show, which was dreamed up, by the way, by Alan Minsky, the great Alan Minsky, executive director of Progressive Democrats of America, it was when he was program director here. I wanted to call it the Solartopia Show. He thought of California Solartopia because people in California kind of take seriously that we're Californians. I've only been such since 2017, but I like it. This is a great city, and it could get 100% of its energy from rooftop solar right away. In fact, we have 70,000 people in the state of California in the solar industry. Doesn't even count wind, doesn't count batteries, doesn't count geothermal. 70,000 people working in the state solar energy industry, as opposed to 1,500 working at Diablo Canyon. So we got everything we need here in the state of California to shut down these two last reactors. And I will say, you know, last year, actually earlier this year, Germany, which is the fourth largest economy in the world. Germany's not some kind of hippie farm here, on which I lived on one, by the way, for 14 years. You can call me, talk to me about that anytime. But Germany has shut down its last nuclear power plant. And that's the number four economy in the world. Number five economy in the world is California. And if we shut Diablo Canyon, that means the number four and number five economies in the world will be post-nuclear, a word I love to say, post-nuclear. And we got to do this now. Gavin Newsom should be vilified for breaking the deal that we had to shut Diablo Canyon, and he's not doing it. I believe, D'Angelo, we have Linda Seeley on the line. Is that correct? You want to post in Linda Seeley or paste her in or whatever we call it? And Linda is a member and a founding member and a principal activist with the Mothers for Peace in San Luis Obispo County, California. She lives in Morro Bay, far too close to the two reactors at Diablo Canyon. But we are trying with the Mothers for Peace to finally shut these reactors. Linda, can I hear your dulcet tones here? Linda Seeley, you with us? Okay. Hey, Linda, you with us? Linda Seeley? Hello? The Mothers for Peace are the group. You can speak up. You need to mute. Unmute, Linda. You're here with us on Zoom. I'm in the control room here at KPFK on Cahuenga with the great D'Angelo working the board. And we are expecting Myra Reason that once she gets out of traffic. I saw, by the way, I drove down. I saw something tonight for the first time I've never seen in L.A. except at Hazeltine Park. But on the highway, I saw an incredible rainbow. I mean, really a powerful rainbow. So, Linda, if you'll unmute and get with us, you'll be a rainbow. Let me give you a little introduction. The Mothers for Peace in San Luis Obispo County, California, which are you can get to, mothersforpeace.org. It's MOTHERSFORPEACE, 50-year-old organization. Like myself, Linda was arrested at Diablo Canyon back in the 80s. We may have to do it again, although we're older and maybe wiser, I hope. But nonetheless, the Mothers for Peace are taking a three-track course to shut the two reactors at Diablo Canyon. Number one, they're in front of the Public Utilities Commission, making the clear and obvious case that Diablo Canyon makes no sense whatsoever economically. It generates power at $1 billion a year or more over the market price. So every year that Diablo Canyon operates, it costs us $1 billion extra. Why we would pay $1 billion extra to run two nuclear plants that could wipe us all out, that's a very good question. The mothers are also suing in federal court against the Nuclear Regulatory Commission's violation of its own processes. And it's also fighting on the issue of embrittlement. The two reactors at Diablo Canyon are 39 and 40 years old, and they are embrittled, which means their interior metals have, after decades of intense pressure, intense radiation, intense heat, they have lost their ability to be flexible if cold water is ever poured in, God forbid, to those reactors to shut them down in case of a major accident. Embrittlement means that these two reactor pressure vessels, if in fact they are exposed to cold water, would shatter like glass. And you have ensuing from the fuel rods and other elements inside the reactor, you would have a hydrogen explosion, you'd have a steam explosion, and you could even have a fission, a nuclear explosion. And so the Mothers for Peace are fighting against that. Linda Seeley, are you with us? Can we hear you? Still not with us, D'Angelo, so let's see. Yeah, let's give her a phone call. Linda, if you hear me, you're on Zoom. You're going to get a phone call, so that'll be D'Angelo, and you can we can get you on that way. We're going to have a couple other guests with us through. We're going to be with you a full hour here at KPFK, the station of the people in Los Angeles. This is the California Solartopia Show. I'm Harvey Wasserman. So we are in this state gifted with the ability to go 100% renewable. We could shut down all our fossil nuclear burners in this state. A major barrier to that is the continued operation of the two reactors at at Avila Beach, 9 miles west of San Luis Obispo on the coast. Linda, can you hear me now?
I can.
And we can hear you.
I don't know what.
Don't worry. Here you are. You're with us. You're good. You got D'Angelo watching over us here.
Yeah.
And Linda Seeley, I'm honored to welcome you back to the California Solartopia Show. Back in previous years, we had you with us many, many times. And now we're at the crunch time. Gavin Newsom is going to be arguing with that fascist from Florida, Ron DeSantis, and he's going to be the great liberal and all that stuff. But nobody, I'm sure, is going to ask him about his betrayal of our the state's best interests at Diablo Canyon. There, he was a signatory, Linda, and you were a part of this, even though the mothers didn't sign the deal, to a deal in 2016 that would have phased out, was meant to phase out the two reactors at Diablo Canyon. And last year, he stabbed us all in the back, went into strong-arming the state legislature. They passed this Bill 846, which would keep Diablo Canyon open. But it was, they were supposed, the two reactors, one was supposed to shut early next year, Unit 2 in 25. He has stabbed us in the back on that. You and the mothers are in court. You're in front of the CPUC, and you're in front of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission demanding these reactors shut down. Now, we are 100% certain that we can get all the energy that the state of California needs from renewables, from wind, from solar, from geothermal. And now one thing we didn't count on in 2016, the massive influx of battery backups. So if you were moderating this debate between Ron DeSantis and Gavin Newsom, what would you demand from Gavin to explain what he's doing here at Diablo Canyon?
I think, Harvey, that what I would demand of Gavin Newsom is that he, number one, keep his promise to shut down Diablo Canyon when it's scheduled to shut down, and to think about the state of California rather than his aspirations to run for president, which is exactly why he decided to try to keep this nuclear plant open. It's a very sketchy kind of. I don't want to make accusations of Gavin Newsom.
Well, I will. So I'll fill in for you. I'll make all the accusations you want.
Okay.
So you don't have to do it. Go ahead.
Okay, but he's not looking out for the state of California, for the people, the animals, the air, the water, the food, everything in this state, because Diablo Canyon is a very, very risky proposition. And I'll tell you, we have 6 points, the Mothers for Peace. I'm going to start with what I consider to be the least significant point. One is economic. Keeping Diablo Canyon open for another 5 to 20 years, PG&E has applied for a 20-year license extension, by the way. It will turn the advocacy group that monitors rates in California, electric rates, they've estimated that keeping Diablo Canyon open for 5 additional years will cost California ratepayers $10 billion extra dollars, okay? Number two.
Let me jump in real quick, Linda. We're in Los Angeles, and one thing that this bill that they passed through the legislature did was it makes everybody in the state pay for Diablo Canyon. It used to be that only the ratepayers in the PG&E territory were liable to pay for Diablo Canyon, but now if down here in L.A., if you're a SoCal Ed customer, or a San Diego Gas and Electric customer, you are paying for Diablo Canyon, even though no electricity comes down here from Diablo Canyon. I want to mention, Lindy, we're joined in the studio by my co-host, Milo Reeson, who just braved the traffic and wants to chime in on that.
Hey, Linda, it's so nice to hear from you voice. Hi. And I saw that double rainbow, too.
Oh, yeah. It was
fabulous. Just beautiful.
Fantastic.
But I wanted to say that our next guest after Linda, Kaylee Underhill, is going to tell us that everybody's going to also be paying for this secret utility tax. So the CPUC has got us coming and going.
It's all about Gavin.
Right, right. So we'll be learning about that later this hour.
All right, I do want to jump in. If you are driving around L.A. and you see that double rainbow, I thought I might be having an acid flashback. But now that Milo has come in and confirmed, there really is a rainbow out there, so just enjoy it and go ahead. Linda, go ahead, please. Tell us more about what the mothers are doing.
I'll go to reason number two. This is really important. Reason number two is that we have plenty of renewables to replace the power of Diablo Canyon. You already said this, Harvey. But Mothers for Peace has illustrious experts whom we've worked with to do the math about it. And we have a lot of extra resources when you count in our battery storage and demand response. So there's nothing to worry about in terms of keeping the lights on if Diablo Canyon shuts down. The other thing is that the grid reliability, they've talked about this as being a problem if we turn off Diablo Canyon. It couldn't be further from the truth. Diablo Canyon interferes with grid reliability because it's this solid 2,200 megawatts that's called baseload that goes into the grid every day, 24/7. Well, when it's running, of course, it's down a lot, not running, but let's not think about that. And so it prevents renewables from coming online. We have so many renewables that it's not funny, and they can't come online because of Diablo Canyon. Okay, there are three reasons. Number four, this bill, and this is kind of a nerdy thing, but it's it has to do with following, you know, we've gotten so used to the sort of rogue rule in this country. But there are principles that you have to follow when you're making an enormous decision like this. It's called prudence. Are these prudent decisions that have been made having to do with all sorts of different things? They have not gone through a prudence review on keeping Diablo Canyon open. Now, the two last ones are the most important to me, because Diablo Canyon, I mean, because Mothers for Peace are advocates for safety. And the fifth reason is about, oh gosh, my brain just went dead.
Well, this is the California AARP hour. So, Linda, let's get to...
here it is. It's
okay.
Seismic issues at Diablo. There is new they haven't revised their seismic studies, PG&E, since 2015. And a lot of new information has come into the public eye since 8 years ago. And almost 9 years ago now, there are two faults that run directly under the nuclear power plant. And those faults, rather than being lateral faults that go sideways if they go off, they thrust up. And if you have thrusting earth going up right under a nuclear power plant, you don't even need a very big earthquake to knock the thing out. And then the last and most important thing is the thing that you already talked about, Harvey, the embrittled reactor vessel of Unit 1 and maybe Unit 2. We don't even know. But we do know that Unit 1 has not been tested since 2003 for its embrittlement. And PG&E has gotten exemptions time after time after time from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, saying that they don't need to test the interior of Unit 1 reactor vessel. And instead, they have used data from a different reactor vessel out in the Midwest and substituted that for the data that they should be using about the reactor at Diablo Canyon. It's like going to the doctor and saying to the doctor, you don't need to examine me. You can examine my brother and tell me what's wrong with me. You know, that doesn't work. Every nuclear reactor is different. You can't use data from a different reactor, but they have gotten that excuse. And so Mothers for Peace is holding their feet to the fire on this and the seismic issues. Well, actually, on all six of these issues that I've just mentioned.
Well, let's
and
talk.
Let me tell you one more thing.
Please.
What we would like your listeners to do is to call your state representatives, both your Senate as senator and your assembly member, and Gavin Newsom, and say, look, this thing needs to go offline. There is no reason for it to be there. We have enough power. It's dangerous and it's expensive. Stop it now. And they can do it.
Well, the bottom line here is, and Linda Seeley, you're just a magnificent activist. And it's just great to talk to you. This is Linda Seeley from the Mothers for Peace in San Luis Obispo. I'm Harvey Sluggo Wasserman, the co-host with Myra Reason of the California Solartopia Show, to which you're listening while you're watching that rainbow out there. There was one big bottom line here, which is safety. Diablo Canyon, these two reactors are pushing 40 years old. If they were cars, you wouldn't drive them. If they were a boat, you wouldn't get on them. And they have ancient problems, including this embrittlement thing. And I want to make it very, very clear that if, God forbid, there is an accident at Diablo Canyon, and it very easily could be at this stage of their history. A radioactive cloud would come down into Los Angeles County. Prevailing winds are from north to south here in California. And at Fukushima in 2011, the prevailing winds, thankfully, luckily for the Japanese people, not so luckily for us, were blowing out to the ocean towards us in California. But they actually were contemplating trying to evacuate Tokyo in 2011 with 15 million people. Now, we only have 10 million people in L.A. County, but there is absolutely no doubt that a major disaster at Diablo Canyon would send an apocalyptic radioactive cloud right into Los Angeles. And the number one danger for us here in L.A. Into the future is the two reactors at Diablo Canyon. Because God forbid if they blow up, we are right in the crosshairs of the worst apocalyptic disaster in human history. This place is unevacuatable, and the economic costs are incalculable, but the human cost is essentially apocalyptic. So when we are talking about shutting these two reactors, which we would be better for our economy and better for our energy supply, we're also talking about saving our lives. And I will say very quickly, it is not an accident that Diablo Canyon is not insured. You're driving around L.A. You can't drive around L.A. legally without accident insurance. But Diablo Canyon, which could wipe us all out, has none. And it's for good reason that they haven't been able to get insurance after 60 years of atomic operations in this country. So my reason is, Linda, again, you're at mothersforpeace.org, and we've got two guests waiting, and I hope Linda can stay with us. Can we accommodate her too? All right, man. We got a big party here.
Yeah.
And it's not the Republican or the Democratic Woo-hoo! Party. So Milo Reason, we've got two great guests on the line. Can you introduce them, please?
Well, Suruku Fors is not just a guest. Suruku is going to be joining our California Solar Topia Collective as a co-host and co-producer of this show. And so I'm hoping that you can unmute and say hello and join us for this as we continue during this hour on 90.7 FM KPFK Los Angeles, talking about shutting down those extraordinary dangers in the north. The Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant must be shut ASAP. And let's welcome in a new era, a real solartopia where we have a green powered earth. Suruku, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm with you. Hi. Absolutely. Yeah, let's shut that shit down. Sorry, my French. But anyway, my name is Suruku Fors. I am originally from Japan, have been in this country for 33 years. Raised in Hiroshima, grew up with a bunch of people whose families were directly affected by the A-bomb, and that's why I became an activist. Needless to say, the Fukushima disaster in 2011 really hit us, you know, all of us hard. And it was certainly a wake-up call, and that's why I'm here. And it was so nice to see Linda briefly. Really have lots of fond memories of going down to San Luis Obispo and, you know, meeting with the Mothers for Peace folks. And actually, a friend of mine, Michiko Kato, who was a Fukushima evacuee, lived in Los Angeles, died of cancer in 2020. We actually went down there to do a film screening, and she spoke. Lots of memories, and we must shut the Diablo Canyon down.
That's right. Yeah. And you know, Harvey, I was listening on my very long drive in to the studio today. I was listening earlier to Norman Solomon. He was on with Jim Lafferty on the Lawyers Guild, and he was talking about how he had been arrested all those years ago with you and Linda Seeley.
Absolutely.
At Diablo.
Yeah, yeah, three of the best nights of my life, actually. And I'm ready to go again to shut those reactors down at Tsukuru. As you know, at Fukushima, there's about 1 million gallons or more of highly radioactive liquid that they're now wanting to dump into the Pacific Ocean.
Well, they started.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, that's the thing. They actually started the third installment of dumping. So the first one was August 24th. Second one was October 5th. The third one started just on the 16th. And it's going to probably go on like more than 2 weeks. They are, each time they are dumping about 7,800 cubic meter of water, which is equivalent of 3 Olympic-sized pools.
Right, into the Pacific Ocean. It comes here. It irradiates the Pacific Ocean. There's no data to tell us what dumping this radioactive material will do into the Pacific Ocean. And to us, actually, very shortly after the disaster at 3/11/11 at Fukushima, there was radiation discovered in tuna caught off the coast of California. So this is very real. I do want to take this opportunity. I saw Oliver Stone, the great filmmaker, being interviewed. He made a pro-nuclear film, which is absolutely ridiculous. And I want to take this opportunity to personally challenge Oliver Stone to a public debate here. KPFK can broadcast it on nuclear power, because Oliver Stone did fulfill my lifelong dream of putting me in an Oliver Stone movie. but it was not exactly a flattering appearance, let's put it that way. And I want to challenge Mr. Stone. Oliver, if you're listening, we need to debate this in public. Your advocacy of nuclear power is absurd. Now, I saw you recently interviewed, and you said that the tsunami at Fukushima was 100 feet high. It was not 100 feet high. It was 40 feet high. And the reason that Fukushima was destroyed by the tsunami was that they actually took it down off a bluff. They lowered a bluff to put these four reactors at sea level. It's insane. Now, the reactors at Diablo Canyon are about 60 feet in the air, 60, 65. But a 100-foot tsunami would do it to Diablo Canyon as well. So, Mr. Stone, Oliver, if you're listening, please take my challenge. We can have a public debate. We can broadcast it here at KPFK, and then you can talk to us again about Alan Dulles. But nonetheless, Tsukuru, it's really great to have you on as our co-host.
Yeah, thank you. Actually, can I just quickly point out about Fukushima?
Please.
I mean, there are so many things to point out about, but one of the things that really people should know about the Fukushima accident, it was actually a man-made disaster because TEPCO knew the possibility of the tsunami of that size hitting the plant. They knew that. They analyzed the historical data, and they had a forecast. So at one point, they were talking about fortifying the plant, but they decided against it because of the cost concerns. You know, they prioritized the profit. So that's why the safeguard was never done. And it's all actually documented in the Japanese court because they were sued. So this is like all documented, how they, talked about possibly safeguarding the plant in their boardroom, and they decided against it.
Right.
So, people have to know that, so like as Javi was pointing out, like any nuclear power plant, because they are poor profit business, they tend to prioritize, profit over cost, right?
So
it's really, I think we need to pay attention to that,
Well, we have the same situation at Diablo Canyon. I mean, they can't get insurance. And I actually marched in Tokyo, Tsukuru. I don't know if you're in the same march I was. But this was predicted, there was no surprise at Fukushima.
we knew they were on an earthquake zone. We knew that they had a tsunami vulnerability. And the same is more than true, as Linda Seeley has pointed out, at Diablo Canyon. We know that Diablo Canyon is surrounded by earthquake faults. We know it's in a tsunami zone. If Oliver Stone's 100-foot tsunami hit there, even though it's 100 feet, 60 feet in the air, Diablo would be destroyed. There's no surprise here. And there are other, as you said, Tsukuru, they're privatizing the profits and making public the risks.
I want to thank everybody for listening to California Solartopia on 90.7 FM, KPFK Los Angeles. Where else would you hear such riveting conversation?
Only here. KPFK is the only station in L.A. Pacifica is the only network nationwide that would carry a show like this attacking nuclear power. And we got to support the station. We got to support the network and let it all flow. Tsukuru and Linda, we have another guest.
Yes, we do. And we're going to take a short musical break and bring on Kaylee Underhill, who will talk to us from the Solar Rights Alliance.
Cool.
when we return.
Just give me the warm power of the sun. Give me the steady flow of a waterfall. Give me the spirit of living things as they return to clay. Just give me the restless power of the wind. Give me the comforting glow of a wood fire.
Thank you for that, D'Angelo. So listen, there's a little history to what you just heard. That song was written by John Hall of Orleans, who wrote Still the One and one other song they had. He, along with, you were listening also to Bonnie Raitt, Jackson Browne, James Taylor, Carly Simon. That was from the 1979 Musicians United for Safe Energy concerts. I did a lot of the media for those concerts. It was at 5 nights in Madison Square Garden, also with Bruce Springsteen, who I got to watch 2 nights in a row stage right. And for me, the Muse concerts were a giant week-long sleep deprivation project. But nonetheless, Musicians for United for Safe Energy, that was John Hall. John Hall actually became a congressperson for two terms. And we love that song, D'Angelo. Thank you so much for playing it. And go out and get Bruce actually released his sets. He'd do like 3 hours a night on Friday and Saturday at those concerts. They were wonderfully successful. Musicians United for Safe Energy, Bonnie Raitt, Jackson Browne, Carly Simon, James Taylor, you name it, they were there. So now, Miley, you've got a great guest for us.
Right. Kaylee Underhill is with the Solar Rights Alliance. And she's got some action items for us to make sure that we don't get socked with an outrageous utility tax that was hidden in some recent legislation that was passed by the California State Legislature. And Kaylee will be telling us all about what we can do to fight back. And also, I'm wondering, are we also calling our legislators about Diablo as well? So we've got lots of things. We've got lots of action items, things that people can do.
Well, while we got you, we want to remind you that you are now, people in Los Angeles are now paying for Diablo Canyon because of this ridiculous Bill 846, which Gavin Newsom strong-armed through the legislature. To his great everlasting shame and to our personal financial cost and to our great personal danger. So Kaylee, go.
So Kaylee, tell us about the hidden utility tax.
Hey, Kaylee, you with us?
Hey, can you hear me okay?
Yes, yeah. We can. Go ahead.
Okay, hi. So
the miracles of technology and of D'Angelo.
Love it. Love it. So I am the Advocacy and Development Director with the Solar Rights Alliance. Solar Rights Alliance is a grassroots nonprofit organization that believes that you have the right to make energy from the sun without unreasonable interference by the utilities. And I've kindly been invited on here to talk with you all about a utility tax that is absolutely going to raise bills for rooftop solar users, but also goes way beyond rooftop solar. So very briefly, the 30-second version is that last year, the legislature passed a big budget trailer bill. It's called AB 205. It included a whole bunch of provisions, and one of those provisions requires the California Public Utility Commission to charge all ratepayers a new uncapped utility tax, which they call a fixed charge. This utility tax would be based on household income. And this bill was passed in 3 days with no public hearing and no public discussion. Many legislators didn't even know the bill contained the utility tax provision. So now, unsurprisingly, the monopoly utilities and some organizations are proposing to charge all ratepayers the highest utility tax in the country. It would be $30 to $70 per month just for the pleasure of being hooked up to the grid, and the money goes to the monopoly utilities. And I want to be really clear up front here that the utility tax will hurt all people who have a small energy footprint, and it will hit particularly hard for working class and low income folks who live in an apartment or a small home just because they live in a small space. So again, the most important thing for people to know is that even a utility tax of $30 per month will increase bills for millions of working class people who live in apartments, condos, or small homes, even if they don't have rooftop solar.
Jeez. I mean, these guys, there's no end to these guys.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, the bottom line here is that we have 1.8 million homes or buildings in California that have rooftop solar. We get 25 or 30% more electricity from rooftop solar in California than we do from the Diablo Canyon nuclear plant. We have the technology and the economic wherewithal to make California 100% renewable by 2030. I mean, it's doable. It's very, I won't say easy, but it's doable. And here they're turning around at CPUC, this incredibly corrupt California Public Utilities Commission, and they're sticking us all with a tax? I mean, do we need to hear their justification other than the two word, we can? I mean, what's the deal here?
Well, I think you're asking a good question. And I would say, although the motivation can only be guessed at, one thing that we can see is that the utilities have tried over and over and over again to kill rooftop solar. As many listeners are probably aware, they managed to get the CPUC to cut rooftop solar credit by 75% this year, which makes it much harder for people who don't have solar to get it. And then 2 weeks ago, they voted to block solar completely for schools, farms, and most renters. So this utility tax definitely has the impact of undermining rooftop solar and any form of conservation. And it just seems the utilities are so hell-bent on killing rooftop solar that they don't mind the collateral damage of all the folks with a small energy footprint who will see their bills go up as a result of this legislation. So hard to say what the motivation was. We do know, as far as we are aware, no legislator has taken responsibility for the utility tax provision in AB 205.
You know, Linda Seeley, I wonder if you can weigh in here, because I think that one of the things we're facing with Diablo is that the California Energy Commission or the CPUC was supposed to study and make a determination about whether Diablo electricity could compete with rooftop solar and with wind and other alternatives. So how does this tax, how does making solar less affordable play into that whole dynamic with Diablo?
I don't have authentic proof of this. I believe it's a big plan, too, because PG&E is making so much money, as are the other Southern California Edison. They are making so much money. They are guaranteed a 10% profit return on all capital investments. If you, it's like a sure thing. It's the one stock you can buy that it's a sure thing that you will make money if you buy it. And they, and the California Energy Commission was supposed to do a study, a thorough study, about whether or not we needed, whether or not the electricity was needed in from Diablo Canyon, and the economics of it. It, they did a preliminary study. They didn't even have a final one. The judge in the case to extend Diablo Canyon from the PUC ruled in favor of keeping it open without even having the data that was necessary to have it. It's I don't like the word conspiracy, but
oh, I like it. I mean, as a historian, I can sit and reel off for you 10 major conspiracy theories in U.S. history that are absolutely 100% proven. If you ever want to doubt a conspiracy, remember the Maine, okay? The Maine was the battleship, and I know this sounds far afield, but the Maine was the battleship that the Americans sent down to Havana Harbor to allegedly support the rebels against Spain. And it blew up. 269 American sailors were killed. We blamed the Spaniards, and we went to war. Thousands and thousands of people were killed on the idea that Spain had sunk the Maine. But conspiracy theorists said, no, it probably blew up from the inside. And then the U.S. Navy sent divers down, and they found the Maine. It wasn't hard to find it. And by God, it did blow up from the inside. And the Spain never did sink the Maine, even though we went to war, because allegedly they did. So there's, whenever you doubt a conspiracy theory, remember the Maine. Okay.
So, Kaylee, let's circle back here. And can you tell us what people can do to fight back against this outrageous utility tax?
Absolutely. And if I may first, just to connect to something that Linda was saying about the overall impact with this for people. One thing that the utilities are trying to say is that their utility tax proposal will lower bills for low-income people. And to piggyback on what you were saying, Harvey, they're not telling the whole story. It is true that folks on Care and FARA who get subsidy bill credit to help them pay their electricity bill.
And what is that? Kaylee, let me stop you and just, you said FARA and Sarah, what is that?
It's CARE, C-A-R-E, and FERA, F-E-R-A, they are the California Subsidy Electricity Bill Programs that help low-income people pay their electricity bills. And folks have to apply, and they have to be eligible to apply based on the income that they have. And so the way this is being proposed or rolled out is that folks on those two programs would see a small decrease in their monthly bills that would be temporary. And the key thing to remember is that there are millions of people who don't qualify for CARE or FARA, and millions of people who do but haven't applied because they don't know they can, who live in an apartment, who are low income and are struggling to make ends meet, and whose bills will go up. And so to connect what Linda and Harvey, I think we're both saying here, is that part of the problem is that this utility tax is uncapped. AB 205 completely lifted the cap on the size of the utility tax. So the utilities are promising to lower rates a little bit in exchange for this uncapped utility tax. And we all know that the tax and the rates will only go up from here. And because, as everyone has been pointing out, the CPUC keeps making the carbon copy decisions of what the utilities want, the legislature needs to fix this mess. The legislature created this problem when they passed AB 205, and we cannot trust the CPUC to get this right. So the legislature must author a bill to repeal the utility tax provision in AB 205 before June, because in July of 2024, these proposals will be in front of the CPUC and go live. And we all know that that will not go well. So if you are listening, please contact your state legislators and ask them to repeal the utility tax provision in AB 205. If anyone is unfamiliar with how to do that, you can go to Find Your Rep www.legislature.ca.gov.
And will you identify
I'm
yourself?
I'm sure that'll be posted, yeah.
Identify yourself and your group and how people can get in touch with you, because I'm sure that your group can guide people to what to do.
Absolutely. So again, first things first, just want to repeat, if you're just straight ahead looking for your representative's information, find your rep.legislature.ca.gov. If you are looking for good, solid background information on utility tax to learn more, the data that I've been speaking about comes from the Clean Coalition. They're a longstanding research and development group. Their website is a great place to go. They have a webinar, like essentially right on their homepage, that you can Google and watch, and they'll walk you through the data. A similar webinar has been produced by the Coalition for Environmental Equity and Economics, speaking to the impact of the utility tax on frontline communities should it pass in its current iteration, should the CPUC go with any of these proposals, if it's not stopped by the legislature. And I, again, am Kaylee Underhill with the Solar Rights Alliance, and we also have some explainers on our website, so you can look at any of those resources.
Fantastic. And I want to point out that, you know, we've got this very tall governor who's debating a guy who lifts in his cowboy boots. But nonetheless, Gavin Newsom is portraying himself as a great friend of green power and a great environmentalist and all that stuff. But the bottom line is he's responsible for all this. If we had a governor who was out there really pushing what should be pushed, we'd be going green lickety split. And every rooftop in L.A. will be covered with solar panels within the next year or two. We will be getting all our juice from solar panels, from geothermal, and from offshore wind, which is really about to take off now. Some big, big, big wind farms are going into the ocean off the East Coast, and we need them off the West Coast. And there's one place in particular west of Diablo Canyon in the ocean where they could be pouring the juice from these offshore windmills into the switching station at Diablo Canyon when Diablo is shut. But the bottom line here is that Gavin Newsom is stabbing us in the back. We have 70,000 people working in the rooftop solar industry, and he's getting the CPUC to do all these anti-solar things while keeping Diablo Canyon open. It's absolutely insane. We need to push this guy off a green cliff, because he's really lying to us.
You know, the California Public Utilities Commission is openly at war with solar, and that commission is appointed by Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom's people are making these horrendous decisions. He's the puppeteer. They're the puppets.
Right. It's ridiculous. Infuriating. Absolutely. We're getting close to the end of the show here. This is the California Solartopia Show, back with you, thankfully, after all these months. Myle Reason is our co-host, and I'm Harvey Sluggo Wasserman, and we have Tsukuru. Tsukuru, as we run out of time, do you want to jump in and give us a few words, and we'll go back to Linda and to Kaylee?
Yeah, of course. So thank you so much, Kaylee. That was so informative. And I'm really, as in a renter and, you know, poor, I'm outraged, and I'll get busy, like, contacting my rep and tell everyone about it. So yeah, get ready. But so I just wanted to say a few things about, you know, going back to the Fukushima water dumping. And I've been talking about this, like, a lot, but it's never enough to talk about this, because people really do not realize. And at this point, since the third installment has begun, you know, I feel like people are just kind of getting complacent, or it's being normalized, this dumping. And it's just really very, very dangerous, because among other things, I would like to point out two things. One, Japan is saying that it's going to go on for the next 30 to 40 years, but it's most likely will go on more than 40 years, because the decommissioning of the Fukushima power plant is not nearly done. Actually, virtually no melted fuel have been taken out of the facility. They don't frankly know how. So as long as the melted fuel rods are still in there, this contaminated water will be, you know, you know, more water will be coming, and they have to dump that somewhere. They have to do something about it. So, you know, when they say like 30 to 40 years, they are actually like lying to you because they really do not know how long.
Well,
and another thing is,
can I just ask, couldn't they build more tanks? Isn't it a question of greed?
Wow. Actually, yeah. Actually, there are solutions that were proposed by the board of scientists, including Dr. Arjun Makijani, you know, renowned nuclear engineer. And one is, yes, you know, build a tank, a bigger tank, because they have the land.
Or turn it into concrete. I read a proposal to mix it with concrete and just
that one's too. Yeah, so two solutions. I mean, one is building a tank, you know, because there is a land, the all around the Fukushima power plant, the land is really not usable. Nobody can live there, so they have a plenty of land to do that.
Yes, you know? And Tsukuro, I'm not to be rude, but we're down to 3 minutes. Great. Well, we're going to continue this next week, hopefully.
Yes,
this is the great California Soiltopia Show. You are a co-host with Maya Reason and me. And let's revisit this in a week. Can we do that?
Yes.
Please. And maybe we can get you in the studio. Linda Seeley in San Luis Obispo or Mora Bay, can you give us a minute?
1 minute to ask your listeners, please. Kylie mentioned calling your representatives to reverse the utility bill. While you're at it, when you call your representative, tell them that they can reverse SB 846, which was the law that they created in order to keep Diablo Canyon open, so they can create another law to shut it down. And I want to thank you so much, Harvey, for allowing me to come on tonight. And our other guests, it's great to be with you. Thank
you. And you're great, Linda. We'll have you back all the time, continuing until we get this thing shut. Diablo Canyon needs to shut its SB 846 and call the governor's office, everybody, please, and tell them to stop.
Just stop it.
Just stop it. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I guess I can't say it on
air. Shut it down.
Kaylee. And Linda is at mothersforpeace.org. mothersforpeace.org. They need support. They're carrying the water on this. Linda, come back with us next week, and we'll continue with Diablo Canyon. Kaylee, you get the last word from our guest. Go ahead, Kaylee, please.
That's very kind again. Thank you for having me. Just to reiterate, want to make sure everyone knows that even a utility tax of $30 a month will increase utility bills for millions, working class, middle class, low income people who live in apartments or small homes that don't have rooftop solar, and anyone who does have rooftop solar and anyone conserving in any way. There are 2 million rooftop solar users, as you pointed out, in the state of California. There are 17 million renters. So please call your legislators and ask them to introduce a bill to repeal the utility tax provision in AB 205.
Okay, and we're down to 1 minute. Give us really quickly your website, Kaylee.
Our website is solarrights.org, SolarRights.org.
Thank you very much. You're great. Linda Tsukuro, Kaylee, wonderful. Milo. We'll be back hopefully next week, California Soiltopia. Be glad to be with you. And no nukes, everybody. Shut them down and put panels on your roof.
And thanks, everybody, for listening.
And thank you, D'Angelo. You are truly great.
So we had to work to pay the cost. So we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But don't you know?
We needed more. The rich got rich, the poor got sore. The fuel ran scarce, the price jumped high, and so we gave nuclear power a try. But don't you know we're gonna have a Soiltopia, Soiltopia, Soiltopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Soiltopia all over God's green world.
But the nuclear
Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia.
Now we're fighting wars over oil and gas. No matter who wins, it will not last. The earth is scarred, the planet is warming. Don't you think at all of it's a great big warning?